You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the first Sunday after Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, June 11th, 2017, by the Reverend Karen Haig, Associate Rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mount to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I have a friend who begins every one of her sermons that way, asking God, praying to God, who, by the way, is Father, Son, and Spirit, to help her speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to speak in the name of God. Why would she do that? What does it mean? So tell me, when I say God, what comes to mind for you? When you pray, who is it you pray to? For some of us, it's God the Father, Michelangelo's creator God on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, long, flowing gray beard and gray hair, reaching out toward his beloved creation, Adam. For some, it's Jesus of Nazareth, walking along the Galilean seashore, calling everyone to follow him. Or perhaps it's the baby Jesus, perhaps Jesus on the cross. Some pray to the Spirit, the one who landed as a dove upon Jesus at his baptism, the one Jesus breathed into his disciples that night he returned to them in the locked room, the one who came as a rushing wind and tongues of flame upon the people gathered at Pentecost. Who is God for you? Father, Son, Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, all of them, none of them? Does it matter? Well, for some people, it's great pondering, thinking about the nature of God is not what most of us do most of the time. But hey, it's Trinity Sunday, and that's the one Sunday a year that offers us the opportunity to explore the church doctrine that holds God as Father, Son, and Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, and consubstantial. Are you ready? I think not. Not because it isn't important, it is, but just because it isn't all that helpful. We will not likely come to know God or love God or serve God by exploring doctrine. We come to know God, to love and to serve God through our experiences. Our experiences tell us who God is. Our Trinitarian God doesn't come alive in the description of a shamrock with three leaves that are one clover, or water that is ice and steam and liquid, yet all one substance, or any other diminished description that tries to explain God in words rather than in relationships. You see, what really matters about having a God who is a Trinity instead of a God who is not is the simple reality that God only exists in relationship. Or perhaps simpler still, that God is relationship. God as relationship, as communion, as community, is beautifully conveyed in Andrei Rublev's icon, The Hospitality of Abraham. You have it in front of you, and I'd like to invite you to have a look at it now. Go ahead. This icon is made after the story in Genesis 18 of Abraham's extraordinary hospitality to three visiting strangers. Listen to the scripture. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. The Lord appeared to Abraham as three men. Abraham knew there was something very special about these strangers, and so he washed their feet, set a beautiful meal before them, and as the conversation went along, Abraham came to know these three strangers as the Lord in his midst. Now look closely at the icon. The faces are the same, right? But if we look at each of the three, at the color of their clothing, at the tilt of their heads, at the object of their gaze, we begin to see how each one complements and defers to the other, how each one is drawn in to the other. I'm particularly drawn into the icon center, where the angel representing the sun sits. Notice his right hand, two fingers held in the gesture that reminds us that Christ is of two natures, fully human and fully divine. But this one does not return my gaze. This one looks to the angel on the left, the one who represents the Father. Notice that the Father does not look back at the Son, but looks to the angel on the right, the one who represents the Spirit. Notice that the Spirit does not look back at the Father. While the Spirit's head is inclined toward the Father and the Son, the eyes look to the empty place at the table, the place that's been set for you and me. None of the three are focused on the self, because God, the Trinity, isn't about individuality. The Trinity is about communion. It's about community, a community of persons who pour themselves into one another with such love that they actually become one. In being one as three, God shows us that nothing, not even the mystery that is God, exists outside of relationship. We don't need to understand the Trinity, we only need to live it. We only need to know that God's very nature is communion. And, made in God's image, our nature is communion too. God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." That's very different from a remote and solitary being who stomps his foot and suddenly there's light, who waves his arm and the sun and the moon and the stars appear, who claps his hands and inhabits the world with creatures, both human and of every other kind. Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, God said. And let's put humankind in relationship with everything else in creation. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the wild animals, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. When God created humankind in God's own image, God created us to be in relationship, not just with God, not just with one another, but with the whole of creation. It's quite something when you think about it, being made in the image of God. We say it sometimes, but I don't know that we really think about all the implications. I like the part about being made in the image of God that says I'm beloved and beautiful and that all of you are too. The harder part of knowing myself to be made in the image of God is understanding that I am, that we are, how God chooses to be revealed in the world. It feels like a lot of responsibility being the manifestation of God in the world. No wonder my friend starts her sermons the way she does. If we are the revelation of God in the world, then we'd better be praying that we speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what would happen if we did that. I wonder what would happen if we took Jesus at his word when he said he was with us, that he would always be with us, even to the end of the age. Take a moment and think about the last difficult conversation you had, or the last unkind thoughts you had, or the last unkind words you spoke. Would something have been different if you began that conversation with the words, "May I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? May I speak knowing that Jesus is with me and with the one who's in front of me?" Think about the last time you pitched a plastic water bottle into a garbage can instead of carrying it back to your car so you could recycle it at home. Would you have added that plastic that will never, ever, ever go away, to that landfill if you really believed that you were the very image of God who loved creation into being and who loves creation still? Would you have done it if you knew in that very moment God was revealing God's own self to the whole world through you? My dear ones, we are living in a culture that is largely indifferent to God's presence among us and in us, each and every one of us. It can be very tempting to be disheartened, but we need to remember that Jesus promised to be with us always. We need to remember the seat that's waiting for us at the Trinity table. We need to remember that we are the way God chooses to reveal God's self in the world. What would be different if we really knew that and lived that? Would we show up and speak out against the appalling selfishness and greed we see around us? Would we show up and speak out against the privilege of the few at the expense of the many? Would we refuse to take part in the unspeakably uncivilized discourse that characterizes so much of our public life? Would we show up and stand up against what we know to be wrong, even in the face of being overwhelmed and tired and busy? Would we perhaps stop being overwhelmed and tired and busy? Would we love as God loves, with absolute abandon? Seriously, how different would life be if we knew that we were really and truly taking Jesus into ourselves each time we come to communion, and that when we stand up and go back to our pews and back to our lives, Jesus is truly present in us? He is, you know. And that holy presence wants to shine in us and through us as we give ourselves over to the divine work of repairing the world, making communion, being communion, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. As it turns out, the Trinity doesn't just tell us who God is. As it turns out, the Trinity tells us who we are, too. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.